Mike Alcoholic. Grateful to be here sober this evening. You know, if you're here and you're writing, or you're here for the first time, you're in the right room. You know, this room changed my life, and a lot of what we read tonight was one of probably the biggest challenges that I had in sobriety. I hardwired my brain for 38 years of my life to be in control of everything. You know, it kind of went like I made the money, you know, and I directed everybody in my house what to do. I remember explaining to my sponsor how I acted at home and how I acted around people at work. And he said, "Oh, you're a street angel house devil." And I said, "Yeah, that sounds about right." And, you know, the more 24 hours I put together, the more I started to see that. And, you know, the people that we hurt the most, I think, are the people that are closest to us, because they tend to take the most abuse and kind of hang on with their dear lives. At least my family did for a long, long time. I think that, you know, the first part of step three for me was coming into the halls of Alcoholics Anonymous and finally admitting that I was an alcoholic. I surrendered a little bit of my will. But in early sobriety, you know, I heard someone at a meeting say, you know, alcoholics are good at making a bad situation worse. And I would get on my knees in the morning and I would say the third step prayer, and I would ask God to keep me away from a drink and a drug for a day. And then something would happen with my wife at the time, or my kids, or my work. And I would take my will back immediately and make a mess of the situation, and then say, like, what the hell? But it became an internal struggle for me, this gross feeling that I had when I would do that. I didn't want to be like that anymore, and I could tell that there were guys in here that obviously lived a better life than I did. And so slowly it started to kind of morph into turning my will over a little bit more. I remember my wife was moving, or she had asked me to move out of the house. And I was writing my fourth step at the time. And I remember the day I got on my knees, I was crying in my bedroom. I said the third step prayer. You know, I asked God to keep me away from a drink and a drug, and I just left the house, you know, without saying anything to her. And prior to being in this room and listening to guys at these meetings, you know, I would have gone in there and I would have begged and pleaded for her to keep me around and to fight till the death for my marriage that was clearly falling apart. I just couldn't see it at the time. And, you know, that day when I left was kind of instrumental in my sobriety, because that was when I really started turning my will over to the care of God, as hard as it was at the time. I was asked to leave. I was still trying to pay the mortgage. I was still trying to pay the bills. I was trying not to react to her and be an asshole, even though I really wanted to at the time. And in that whole, there was a 6-month period there where I would get on my knees every day, I would say the third step prayer, and, you know, she would want to engage in this same cycle that we had been engaging in for 18 years of our lives together, that always ended in an argument or, you know, not talking to each other for days on end. But, you know, by saying this prayer and starting to understand what it meant to turn my will over, I was able to slowly not engage in those things. And it was scary, because I watched the woman that I loved for 18 years slowly start to slip away and slip out of my life. But now I realize that was God's will for me, you know? And it kind of got to the point where I had to get comfortable with that was happening around me. And I had to keep living and keep putting one foot in front of the other. And, you know, I was at a meeting one time, I was crying in the kitchen, and a guy said to me, "You think you're the first guy who's ever lost his wife?" He's like, "Get the fuck over yourself." And I remember immediately thinking, I want to kill this guy. And then I was like, he's right. You know, this, you know, it's, I'm not the first guy that's ever had this problem. And it was strange because when I came here, you know, I was the director. I would lecture my kids constantly. I was constantly, it was my will, whether they wanted to or not. I basically coached my son out of playing baseball because it was never good enough. You know, I could never just let the chips lay where they were. No matter how good he played, I always said you could do better, and I always, you know, was browbeating him. And when I started to kind of figure out my will versus God will, the relationship with my wife went south and the relationship with my kids came back. Because I understand now that God's will for me is to be a power of example for them, but not necessarily be browbeating them every day about what they should and shouldn't be doing in life. They're going to have their own experiences, and I just need to be there to support them and, you know, show them what it's like for me to be an adult. So, you know, I say the third step prayer every single day. It's a big part of what I do. It was suggested to me before I got my sponsor that I get on my knees and start saying that prayer, and it was something that I started doing right away. And my life has gotten unbelievable as a result of being able to turn my will over to the care of God as I understand them. It's not easy. It can still sometimes be an internal struggle, but today it's a lot easier to feel that struggle and to let go than it was in early sobriety, because like I said, I was hardwired to take my will back and run my life on self-will forever. I did it for 38 years of my life, and it never ever worked for me, but for some reason I wanted to continue to do that. I just couldn't cut that cord. You know, I can sit up here today and say that cord has been cut today, and now I can identify when I want to take my will back and I have a choice. I can either ask for help and turn it over again, or I can run with it. And usually if I run with it, there's going to be some sort of emotional pain, either for me or for somebody else. And I don't want to hurt anybody today, you know, and I don't want to hurt myself. So it's been an amazing experience. Like I said, if you're writing in here, if you're doing the work, if you're struggling with turning your will over, like, there's a lot of guys in this room that know exactly what you're going through. And, you know, everybody that speaks tonight wants nothing more than for you to get on the other side of that. Because from an emotional standpoint, I would say that was probably the hardest part of early sobriety for me, was trying to identify what is God's will versus Mike's will. And when I did, it was easy to see Mike's will is, yeah, don't do that. You know, that's not going to work out very often. My job is to put one foot in front of the other, accept life the way that it's laid out in front of me. You know, I'm not here to tell life which direction to go in. I'm here to kind of live life on life's terms, accept it the way that it's laid out, and, you know, just enjoy the ride. You know, my sponsor always says God's got a much better plan than we do. And, you know, the first time he said it, I didn't really believe him, but, you know, it's true. And my life, as a result of doing these steps and coming to this meeting specifically, has gotten immensely better in a very short amount of time. So I'll be forever grateful for the guys that came before me, especially the guys that were in this room that I heard speak at other meetings that walked me down this path. Thanks.